Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Josh Burnett. He is a husband, a dad, a business owner, and an author. He currently resides in Little Rock, Arkansas, but he's originally from Virginia Beach, Virginia. He has done a lot of work with Chick-fil-A over the years, got his bachelor's degree in business management from James Madison University, and has done a lot with Young Life. And he has teamed up with Pete Hardesty, who currently serves as the Young Life College Divisional Coordinator in the Eastern Division. And the two of them have put together a book that I think is filled with helpful, important counsel for young adults. Now, as I read this book, I am 65 years of age. And I thought, this is not just good for young adults. There are a lot of people who are, let's say, more advanced in their years, who still need to learn these life lessons. So I'm delighted to have Josh on the broadcast today, and we're going to be talking about his new book, Adulting 101. That's Adulting 101. What's adulting?
Oh, adulting is doing grown-up things, learning how to do that and entering the real world.
Yeah. Have you ever encountered somebody who was, let's say, in their mid to late 30s and they still weren't exactly living like an adult?
I have certainly seen that. As a small business owner, I work with all kinds of folks in all different stages of life, and there's some young people that are adulting really, really well, and then the flip side of that, there's some folks that are a little bit older than them that maybe don't have it all together quite yet, and so this book was really meant for a wide audience to really try to serve them well across a multitude of topics.
Well, I'm delighted that you've written it and released it. And again, I would say to our listeners, it is filled with wisdom for life. So you start out by talking about the difference between a hearse and a U-Haul as far as which comes first. Tell us about the question that was asked concerning hearses and U-Hauls.
Well, the idea is you've never really seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul, and so you enter this life with nothing and you leave this life with nothing, and it's really about the difference that you make here while on earth. And we really had a heart to give primarily students, but very practical information throughout the course of Adulting 101. So we felt like it needs to start with a why is this important?
Yes.
And so the first couple of chapters are really geared around, hey, what's the big picture? What's your why? You have the opportunity every day to impact a lot of people, and you are impacting them whether or not you realize that. And so for us, helping the reader to paint a picture of who do they want to be and what do they want to be about, prior to jumping into the ABCs of adulting.
Exactly. Now, you cite, for example, a quote from the book Enough, True Measures of Money, Business, and Life by John Bogle. And you cite a story there, and I'm going to read your quotation in there. It says, at a party given by a billionaire on Shelter Island, Kurt Vonnegut informs his pal, Joseph Heller, that their host, a hedge fund manager, had made more money in a single day than Heller had earned from his wildly popular novel Catch-22 over its whole history. Heller responds, yes, but I have something that he will never have. Enough. Close quote. What a great quote.
Absolutely. A huge portion of the young adults that I work with finance is the number one area in which they need to learn how to adult well. And whether they have a little or a lot, mm-hmm. it's all about being content and having a money mindset of stewardship
yes.
instead of entitlement.
Yes.
And we try to paint the picture of there are some really unhappy, poor, rich people, and then the reverse of that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And there is statistically a point in which money brings no additional happiness. I mean, they've run different surveys and there's statistics out, and for what we have found, it's about $75,000 in total household
yep.
income. But really, especially for the young adults that I'm working with, it's, hey, if you can learn how to budget while you are young and while you have less,
mm-hmm.
as you progress throughout your career and maintain this mindset, you will be very wealthy regardless of what your annual income looks like.
Amen. And I've certainly seen that to be true over and over again. I know people who have enormous financial wealth and are very happy. And I know people who have enormous financial wealth and are very miserable.
And absolutely.
I was talking with someone just the other day who had been meeting with a very wealthy family that was experiencing all kinds of family discord and personal stress. And he said, after I'd met with them, I went home and I told my wife, you know, talking with those folks makes it very, very clear that having enormous financial wealth will not make you happy. And his wife responded, yes, but that's a lesson I've always wanted to learn the hard way.
Sure.
I think a lot of folks, even if they intellectually embrace what you're saying and what I'm saying about money not being the key, still fall into that trap of thinking, well, this would be solved if I just had more money. But you talk about the difference of just 1 cent between the rich and the poor. Describe that for us, if you would.
Certainly. So again, a large amount of Adulting 101 is dedicated to the finance realm. And again, working with a lot of students as a business owner, this is the area that they most often will come to me and we'll create a budget. We'll figure out how to buy a vehicle together. A lot of those conversations together is really what created this. But the idea around the 1 cent is if you spend a penny more than what you make,
mm-hmm.
You are poor. If you spend a penny less than what you make, then you'll be wealthy.
Absolutely.
And again, it's a very simplistic idea, but don't overspend from what you have. And Adulting 101, we talk through credit, we talk through budgeting, we talk through investing, and a lot of these things are terrifying, especially if a student grew up in a household where that was either not taught or not exhibited well.
Yes. Well, again, I think there is a very clear, inescapable fact that tons of young adults don't know how to handle adult responsibilities. But I would say that crisis of non-adulting is brought on by a lot of non-parenting. I know so many young people who grew up without parents teaching them these basic life skills. And so I'm so thankful. I mean, I'm sitting here with this book and thinking, I want this for our students here at the ranch. I want this for my kids to be able to share with others, because if you grew up learning these lessons, you may even be doing the right thing and being a responsible adult, but you don't realize that so much of what was ingrained in you is not at all obvious to people who weren't taught that.
Absolutely. And again, having so many different types of students that work with me, and
mm-hmm.
Again, some of them have been very fortunate in their upbringing.
Yes.
And they've had parents that have poured into them or other mentors, and then some folks that just haven't had that. They didn't receive this understanding, whether it was at home or at school, and so many students are looking to their first boss,
yeah.
Their employer, to really help to raise them. Everything
yeah.
from time management to professionalism, and really they're coming in without much experience and looking to us to help mold them.
Well, I want us, if we could, and this, you don't really, at least I have not seen this in your book. You don't talk a lot about Chick-fil-A specifically, in terms of, you know, the way that they've approached business. But if you want an example of a bunch of adults, Truett Cathy, you know, his sons and his daughter learned from him not just things about money management, but their company is blowing the doors off the food industry, not just the fast food industry, but in terms of when people are asked, what's your favorite restaurant? More people say Chick-fil-A than any place else. And, you know, they are making so much more money in 6 days a week per location than the other chains make in 7 days a week per location. And it's because, for one thing, the Cathy family was never chasing the dollar. They really sought the glory of God and therefore the good of their customers. And it made a world of difference in how they treated people, including their employees. And the consequence has been an extraordinary story of business success. If you want to start another, let's say you want to be a McDonald's franchisee, or you want to be a Wendy's franchisee, or you want to be an Applebee's or whatever franchisee, it's going to cost you a fortune. If you want to open a Chick-fil-A, it's not going to cost you a lot of money. I think it's like 10 grand. But,
correct.
But it is very, 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 very selective process. You know the stats?
That is correct. It's tens of thousands express interest annually to become an owner-operator.
Yeah.
And I could be incorrect, but I think it's less than 100 are selected annually.
I believe that's right. I believe that's right. And yet, even at that, they're growing like crazy because they aren't looking for the fast buck. They're looking for doing it right, doing it with integrity. And in terms of adulting, we want young people not just to be financial successes. We want them to be a success in life. And as you demonstrate in this book, that's not about how many zeros there are in your paycheck. That's about how you view yourself, how you view others, and whether or not you're using the gifts God has given you for His glory.
That's absolutely right. And again, we kind of kicked off Adulting 101 with this high-level conversation, the first few chapters, about what do you want to be about and why. And we write the entirety of the book, with the exception of the final chapter, mm-hmm. without any kind of religious bias. If you right. are a believer, you'll see a Christian worldview sown throughout the different chapters. But mm-hmm. we intentionally don't talk about God or Jesus for the first 18 chapters because we want this book to be able to be picked up by anybody and be applicable to somebody.
Yep.
And regardless of what you believe, a budget is a budget. And so the intent behind it was, for anybody that I get a chance to work with, or Pete runs across in his college ministry, mm-hmm. We want to say, hey, this is for you. We care about you. But we felt like we would be missing the point if we didn't have a final chapter that summarized what we believe, why we believe it, and how that is so foundational for us.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that was our opportunity to share with the reader, hey, we hope we've earned the right to be heard through these first 18 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we believe, and this is why. And this is why we think it makes sense for you as well. But really, the book was written to be able to be given to anybody.
Well, and I think you did a great job with that. And I appreciate the fact that at the end, when you're talking about your faith in Christ, it's done very elegantly. I mean, you talk about starting with the fact that there, J.K. Rowling has not sold as many books in the years that she's been the best-selling author out there. She's not sold as many in those years of her books as the Bible. The Bible is the bestseller of all time. You talk about the calendar and the way that dating is based on who is the greatest person who ever lived. And all through these points that you make, you ask the question, So don't you think you ought to investigate this? Don't you think you ought to look at this? The wonderful thing about introducing people to Jesus is he's not a concept. He's alive. And if people will just take a look, if they'll examine the evidence, if they'll consider the possibility, God is more than able to show himself real for anybody who's even remotely interested. And the problem is not that people search and can't find. It's that people run the other direction. A lot of people are trying to escape the obvious truth that there is a God and we are not him. And so, again, I think the way that you present that at the close of your book is very well done. And therefore, this book becomes a powerful witness for many, many people who will find all the rest of it extremely helpful as well. But I believe there are going to be a lot of people who don't know Jesus yet who are going to come to know him when they take seriously the questions that you ask and the evidence that you share in the conclusion of the book.
Well, thank you. That was truly the intent. We wanted to get to care for some students really well that were in our lives and also share with them what we believe and why.
Yes. Well, and again, you fill it with principles that are, going to be timeless. When the numbers change with inflation, or when the economy collapses and we have deflation, whatever happens, all these principles are still going to be true. The financial principles that you lay out are not just something that worked in the 1980s or something that will work right now in the Trump economy. But it's much more than principles that you lay out. You use wonderful illustrations to make it very, very personal, and you share from your own experience and from the experiences of others. I think you do a great job with that. And you show the fruit of a lot of research. I think your book is excellent. You talk about email etiquette. suffice it to say, that's something where a lot of people need training. And you do a great job. I mean, you don't just say, you ought to think about this. You make clear suggestions. You talk about professionalism, time management, weddings. You're supposed to send a gift when you're invited, not just when you go. You have a year to send or give the present for a wedding. RSVP early and every time. Always arrive at weddings and funerals at least 45 minutes early. I have to do that because I'm the preacher, but I...
there's nothing that's a worse feeling than rolling up to an event late because of traffic or something else that was out of your control.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a big piece of the book, we talk about time management. That was something that was near and dear to my heart, being a lot of people's first boss.
Yep.
And helping them to better understand that they convey a tremendous amount of respect or lack thereof based upon their timeliness.
Yep.
They're going to convey that to their team, to their boss, to their friends, whether or not they're on time. And so,
well,
who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you really? And that's exhibited by your calendar.
Amen. And yet there are a lot of people who aren't willing to do what it takes to manage their time in order to be where they're supposed to be and to be sure they know what time they're supposed to be there. And again, that's part of being an adult, isn't it?
That's absolutely right.
You also, in this book, you talk about 20 principles of life-changing leadership. And the first one is lead yourself first. Develop the right habits and the right morning and evening greenhouse routine. Grow, read, reflect, meditate. Reserve frequent times of solitude and silence to recalibrate and make sure you are on the right path. As author John Maxwell says, leadership develops daily, not in a day. Now, again, starting with that, lead yourself first. I've known a lot of people who aspired to leadership and were sometimes, because of other gifts, placed in positions of leadership who did not learn that lesson. And their own life became a shambles because they didn't lead themselves well.
That's absolutely right. And we see that too often in the business world.
Yeah.
Perhaps somebody was skilled at a particular skill set,
yep.
and they were promoted as a result of the skill set, not as a result of leadership.
Yes.
And that is a huge issue. Or perhaps they do have good leadership qualities, but they are just unable to manage themselves. And
yep.
that is the start of how to lead other people, is how are you leading your own life?
Amen. Now, you also say, don't take yourself so seriously. Take your mission seriously, but yourself, not so much.
That's you got to have some fun.
Yeah, and you got to be able to laugh at yourself, because everybody makes mistakes.
That's part of it. If you can't forgive yourself, then you will just be wound up far too tight to be able to lead other people in a positive way.
Yeah, and when you make a mistake, it'll be crushing instead of corrective.
That's correct.
You talk about credit. How important is it for young people to go ahead and borrow some money so that they can build their credit?
That is one of the most often had conversations that I have with students.
Yes.
Is there's this mysterious thing out there called credit, and they need to have it. And they don't always understand how it works, what the breakdown is. And so we want to demystify this idea of credit first and really say, it's not as necessary as it's being made out to be.
Right.
But if you are absolutely set upon the idea of, I have to start building my credit now, mm-hmm. there's some ways that you can do that with some pretty low risk.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk through that. One of those is getting a very small credit card and just paying your gas bill on it every month.
Yep.
Just whenever you have to fill up your tank. But it always has to be money that already exists in your account.
Exactly.
It breaks my heart when I see these young students that work with me that will begin receiving credit card offers,
mm-hmm.
and in their mind, it's almost this idea of free money.
Exactly.
Until the bills start rolling in, and I mean, so many students just unaware, they just make these decisions, and the problem is it stays with them for so long, and
mm-hmm.
that's what breaks my heart. And so if they can understand how it works,
mm-hmm.
how it can be built in a way that helps them, then hopefully it'll alleviate some of these earlier, bigger mistakes.
And in the book, while giving the instruction you just described, you also warn folks, don't borrow. Do not borrow. Don't go in debt.
Yep.
It's not worth it. You're going to pay multiples of what you thought you were spending if you stretch it out over time. And you're going to be enriching somebody else and making yourself poor. And my wife and I have several credit cards. That every single one of them is on auto pay for the full amount every month. Because as you say, we never spend the money, even on our credit card, unless the money's already in the bank. If the money's not in the bank, we're not going to spend it because it's not our money. And by having those auto draft of the full amount every month, it's been very easy to be disciplined over the years. Because there's never a thought that, well, we can buy now and pay later. No. If you can't pay now, you don't want to charge that thing, whatever it is.
That's absolutely right.
Josh, I want to again thank you for what you've done here. You've produced something that is very worthwhile, and it's very readable. It is very applicable. And there are a lot of folks listening right now who are saying, what was the title again? It's Adulting 101, hashtag Wisdom for Life. It's by Josh Burnett and Pete Hardesty. It is available wherever books are sold, correct?
That is correct.
So get out there and get a copy for a young person near you. And I would say you can go ahead and give this to young people in high school so that they don't have to fall flat on their face when they get out there. As a matter of fact, I know some junior high kids who are going to enjoy this book, but I also know some people in their 30s who are going to say, man, I wish I'd gotten this in my 20s, because this is very, very helpful. And it doesn't just say, this is what you should have done. It says, this is what you can do from here. So again, Josh, thank you so much for your work, and God bless you.
Thank you so much for the time. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.